baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I got a killer cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast.
Welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners YouTube Live powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum, Parker Thune, Spencer Forsythe producing on the board. OU Bama, number 11, Oklahoma. Number 4, Alabama. We are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about nobody giving Oklahoma a chance nationally. Decide whether we believe that, whether we don't. Talk about the pros, the cons. Oh, and there's this thing called recruiting that Oklahoma is scorching hot on right now. Scorching hot. And there's some other potential flips that are in the works if you're over on OU Insider VIP that nobody really even knows about, to be honest with you, as far as 2026 goes. And then 27, I mean, the number one class in the country is about to get even further outpaced. So there's so much to talk about. We're going to do that. We're going to answer your questions in the super chats. And by the way, happy Veterans Day to everybody. I know it's the day after Veterans Day, but my goodness, everybody loves a vet. And so do we. Before we thank our sponsors, I want to throw something at you guys. If you can send us a photo, you're a veteran, you have valid proof that you are a veteran, send us a photo of your veteran card. You can scratch out whatever personal information you want. Send it to us, OUinsider@rivals.com. We'll send you a promo code to get OU Insider for $1 a month for 3 months. But that's a 24-hour deal. If on August 13th, 11:59, you have not sent it, you can't send us to us after that. So it's a 24-hour deal.
November.
I don't know why I said that. November 13th, 2025, 11:59 p.m. You send us a email, OUinsider@rivals.com, with a photo proof that you are a veteran. We'll send you a promo code to make sure you get OU Insider for $1 a month for 3 months. That's our gift back to you because we love our veterans. We love our military at OU Insider. But before we talk all of this, Parker, thank our sponsors.
Yes, Riverwind Casino, folks, is our presenting sponsor. Riverwind Casino has been the OKC area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars, and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Thanks to Janaking as well, the greatest team to ever clean, and a proud partner of OU Athletics, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. Check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to janiking.com. That's janiking.com. A word from Prize Picks, folks. This episode brought to you in part by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better on Prize Picks, where the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. Keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. Whether it's college football, whether it's NFL, whether it's NBA, whatever you want to play, Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. Prize Picks is the best way to win cash this football season. Which players are going off? Which ones are overhyped? Make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your takes into cash all season long with Prize Picks. So download the app today and use code OU Insider to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code OU Insider to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. And finally, folks, let me introduce you to the best hunting socks you can buy. And if you're not into hunting, that's
skiing,
okay.
Snowboarding.
This is also just a really comfortable, really rugged pair of socks to have in general. Hollow socks, folks, check these out. Look at that reinforced toe and heel. These are alpaca socks built for the field. Performance grade, made from ultra soft baby alpaca fibers, engineered for rugged conditions and designed to keep your feet dry, warm, and comfortable no matter where the day takes you. They're the only socks that keep your feet warm below freezing and then cool when it hits 80 degrees. Made in the USA, over 2 million pairs sold. Once you wear Hollow, you'll never go back to wool or cotton socks again. Now, for a limited time, Hollow Socks is having a buy three, get three free sale. Head to hollowsocks.com today to check it out. That's hollowsocks.com for up to 50% off your order. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. You can support our show by telling them that we sent you. And without further ado, let's jump to the YouTube Super Chat, where we already have a couple of Super Chats. That's the easiest way, folks, to make sure your question gets answered before the end of the stream. We make you the promise every single week that we will hit every single Super Chat before we wrap up the stream. We got a $2 contribution from Cole Birdwell, who said happy late Veterans Day to all. And then we got a hundo from Jacob Matthews.
Jacob Matthews, stud.
Thank you, Jacob. Very generous. He said, sorry for the off-topic question, but I want y'all's opinion. My wife's family is coming from Florida and South Carolina for the Missouri game, and I live an hour north of Tulsa, so I'm not sure where I should take them in OKC. All I know of is people love the Mont. Any suggestions? Yeah, the Mont, you can't really go wrong with. If you're there on a game day, it might be packed. You might have to wait in line. If that's not the most practical option, one spot in Norman that I really, really love is Bad Daddy's Burger Bar up off I-35 in Robinson. That's some of the best food in the city. For my money, the best sit-down burger restaurant in the state of Oklahoma. And of course, their menu encompasses so much more than burgers. They have the state's best banana pudding as well, in my opinion. So if you can hit the Mont, great. If not, Bad Daddy's is always a killer option, and there are many more. You can DM me, Jacob, if you need more recs or more specific recs, but if somebody's visiting Norman, those are always the two spots that I tend to direct them towards.
The banana pudding thing just wasn't on my bingo card as far as suggestions. Like, you're suggesting food. Parker throws out banana pudding as one of his top options of reasons to go somewhere. The banana pudding.
Banana pudding is the ultimate comfort food. Like on the power rankings, if you had to power rank desserts, if you had to come up with a definitive hierarchy of desserts, banana pudding for me is number one on the list. I don't know if there is a dessert that, well, you know what? I say that, key lime pie. It's neck and neck between key lime pie and banana pudding for me.
You have a taste bud of an 80-year-old for desserts, Parker.
What, do you have to be 80 to appreciate key lime pie and banana pudding?
I don't know. Old people always like key lime pie. I don't know what it is. And banana pudding. Top that off. So, no, I mean, to each his own.
Listen, find me somebody that doesn't like banana pudding.
Right here?
Really?
Yes. Do not like banana pudding. Oddly enough, I like tapioca. So... I'm a weird dude. Anyways. All right. Hey, let's answer this. Let's answer this question.
Lance Fleury said, the Mont. I've lived in OKC since 73. I've never heard of the Mont. Well, Lance, you need to get down to Norman more because that is a Norman institution.
What? The swirl, man. There it is. All right. Anyways, off topic. So before we talk about anything, we need to talk about the availability list. And there's a name on there that crept up on everybody, Parker.
Jaden Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the expectation is he's going to play. But
yes, but it's still odd. About that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things.
Does he play games? Does he play games with this crap? I feel like he does some.
Jaden Jackson?
Just BV, Brent Venables, play games with the availability list a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I was very surprised to see Kobe McKenzie listed as probable. Very surprised.
Same. The whole thing was kind of shocking. We expected Kelontez Lewis to play this week, so that wasn't shocking. I will say, I was told by a little birdie that though Keontae's is back, there's some, the way they worded it, revamping up that he has to do because he hasn't played football in a month. So while everybody else is in like mid-season form, he's having to catch back up a little bit because he's been restricted for so long. So interesting nonetheless. But yeah, Jaden Jackson should play this week. Kobe McKenzie, do we think he stays probable? Do we think he goes back down to questionable by the end of the
week?
I
think that probably moves back down to questionable at some point.
Yeah.
That was the most surprising designation on the injury report by far. By far.
For sure. For sure.
And with respect to Keontae Lewis, you know, we talked about it earlier in the week, but I'll bring it up again. This is probably, when Oklahoma goes down to Alabama on Saturday, this is probably a football game where you're going to start to see more of JerMichael Carter. Quite a bit of JerMichael Carter. Mm-hmm. I think you can safely count on that.
Hey, Banks Cosby, thank you so much for the super chat. What is the big reason our recruiting class is so much better in 2027 than 2026? This is the easy answer, by the way. Is it our play this year? Do y'all agree with today's expert predictions? Also, first game for me this weekend. Super excited. Thanks for all you do, Boomer. Well, we appreciate you, Banks Cosby. First and foremost, do we agree with the predictions that were put out on Twitter?
Well, here's the great thing, folks. Here's the great thing. You see predictions circulating on Twitter.com. You're already a step ahead if you're at OU Insider.
Yeah, because, days ahead, by the way.
Yes. Those predictions were not a surprise to any of our members. Because we have had repeated notes and updates on the players that were the subject of those predictions over the previous weeks and months over at OUinsider.com. So again, not a shock if you're a member over there. You've been apprised of that situation. Or those situations, I should say, because there have been predictions for three different players publicly today, and you've been well informed on all of them if you're over on OUinsider.com. Again, folks, I say this a lot, but I think it bears repeating. I truly do believe that we cover recruiting better than anybody else in the market and have for quite some time, and I would invite you to put that to the test. Compare us to the other outlets out there. Give us a try for a few weeks. Come to your own conclusions, but I think the work speaks for itself.
I agree. But as far as, you know, the big reason why the class is so much better in 2027 than 2026, Banks, here's the deal. The scouting staff came in super late for 2026. So by the time Jim Nagy was hired, I believe he was hired in late February, early March of last year. By the time his whole staff was hired, they were in the throes or the beginning throes of official visits, or the beginning of official visits. So this scouting staff has been playing catch up with 2026. I wouldn't necessarily say 26 is like just, I actually think they're doing a fantastic job. All things considered, the fact of the matter that Oklahoma was 6-7 two out of the last 3 years, you hired Jim Nagy as your general manager. They changed up a lot of the way that they were operating as far as NIL. You had the change up of profit sharing. You had the change up of how just Oklahoma is going to move forward just with their roster and building a roster. Hence, like just from that point on. And so that is a lot of the reason why, because of that, all those changes all happened at once. And then on top of it, they're playing catch up with a 6-7 season. That just, you're going to have those things. The relationships they weren't able to build, the relationships they have with 27, you see it pay off a year into it. And I will say this, the late addition of Stacy Ford was a banger. Addition.
Whatever that guy's making, it's not enough. It is not enough. But I think it also ought to be acknowledged, Brandon, that there is an element of chance. There is an element of luck and of good fortune wrapped up in all of this as well, because Oklahoma was lucky that in the class of 2027, within state lines, you have a very, very strong crop. As strong as we have seen in this state in the last decade.
Yeah.
And you had a couple of guys in Cooper Hackett and Caden Penny, that were ready to slide early and ready to, especially in Hackett's case, be the leaders, you know, be the face of the class. He's a guy that is very active behind the scenes as a peer recruiter. And so when you have a homegrown five-star like that, that is as active as he is and has been behind the scenes and helping recruit his peers to Norman, that's going to help. But it helps in general when you're dealing with a year where there are at least, I know evaluations are going to be different, at least 10 to 15 high-end P4 prospects in the state of Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to luck out in 28 as well, because 28 is what I would say this. The state of Oklahoma is about to go on a run that they haven't seen as far as talent. And it's odd to say this, but being my kid being the age that he is, I get to see the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th graders that are all coming up throughout the state. There's going to be a 5 or 6 year run where this state puts out more talent than it has in God knows how long. And Brent Venables, you're literally watching the state population increase and the talent increase for the first time. They're like hand in hand. And that is massive, 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 massive. I think the move to the SEC has made more kids play football in the state of Oklahoma. You got basketball players like Gabriel Osborne. He wasn't a football player, he's a basketball player. Now he's one of the best corners, and by the time the cycle's over, there is a case to be made that he may be a top 2 or 3 corner in the class and could be pushing 5-star status by the time.
He's having an incredible junior year.
It's stupid, dude. Stupid. Like
he and Samaj Stanford and yep. Case Alexander are going to be locked in quite the three-way arm wrestling match for the distinction of being the number one defender in the state of Oklahoma in 2027, because all three of those guys are absolute maniacs on the football field.
And you got Joseph Graves, who's an Oklahoma kid that's at IMG Academy that nobody talks about anymore. But that just shows you the 27 class, what it is, and they lost one. Like, they lost a dude to IMG, and it's still that loaded. And there will be more kids that get offered. There is a quarterback down in Broken Bow that could be a dude that Oklahoma looks at down the line. Like, legitimately, could be a dude Oklahoma looks at. Freak athlete. Already has a bunch of P4 offers. I mean, that shows you how deep this class is, though. That right there answers everything. I mean, it just is what it is. 28 is going to be just the same. 29, very similar. It's OU's blessed right now to have what they have going on in the state of Oklahoma. So let's talk about and I respect Josh Pate. I respect Brandon Marcello. They're two of the best to do it, period. No fans or buts. Neither one of them have been high on Oklahoma all year. But both of them literally have double-digit wins for Alabama. Brandon Marcello said he would not, and I quote, would not be shocked if Oklahoma lost by 2 or 3 touchdowns. Now, there's a world where that happens. But I think the percentages aren't good, Parker. Like, you would assume the way this thing plays out, if Oklahoma, and you and I talked about this on the phone earlier, a team that doesn't run the ball well, they just don't do well against Oklahoma. You look at Ole Miss. They've ran the ball well all season, right? They did well against Oklahoma's defense. Texas. Now, a lot of their stuff was Arch Manning, right? Slithering out of things. It was missed tackle after missed tackle after missed tackle because Trey Wisner was getting hit 2 or 3 yards in the backfield by 2 or 3 dudes, and they would slide off of him, right? And after that, the second level, because OU was bringing a run blitz on, and when you do that, you risk getting beat if they get by that first level. There is no second level. And then you're one-on-one with the safeties. And, you know, thank God Oklahoma had good safeties that made tackles in space. RSJ had a bad game that day tackling space, but he still made other plays. Bowen made plays. Boganowski made plays, like, in big plays to stop him. There is a problem, though, with this. Teams that don't run the ball well generally don't do well against Oklahoma. Bama doesn't run the ball well. They don't run the ball well at all. So that means BV can literally pin his ears back. And now I know you can't really do that. That's an easy way to kind of simplify things, but it makes Bama one-dimensional, right? Like, essentially one-dimensional. I guess I'm just not... I get the premise, Parker, of OU is good against the run, Bama's bad against the run, so that's a wash. But are we missing the fact that that makes Bama pretty one-dimensional? And BV has been notoriously really good against offenses that are one-dimensional.
No, that's true. I guess what I would say, how I would try to rationalize it is, first off, I don't think Alabama's running away from Oklahoma in this football game.
Totally agree with
that. I
don't think
they're winning handily. But it ought to be acknowledged, this is still an Alabama roster that Nick Saban had a huge hand in building. It's incredibly talented. And on both sides of the ball, they have elite athletes across the board. Ty Simpson is playing at a Heisman caliber level. Is he the front runner right now? I wouldn't go that far. I would probably lean in the direction of a guy like Fernando Mendoza or Julian Sain. But Ty Simpson is in the conversation. And this is a team that ever since dropping their opener to Florida State in what was just an absolute dud of a performance, that they've played as well as anyone in the country. They've played as consistently. And they get Oklahoma on their home field. And so I think the rationale, the argument for why Alabama wins this game handily is, well, you can argue they're the hottest team in the country. They've got a quarterback that's playing on a Heisman caliber level. Whether it's true, whether it winds up being true or not, you can make the argument that they have a more athletic defense than Oklahoma has seen this season, maybe with the exception of Texas. Texas has a really fantastic defense as well. But then obviously, you know, you get them on your home field, get them at Bryant-Denny Stadium. So all of those factors combined, plus the potential absence of R. Mason Thomas, who is Oklahoma's meal ticket in the pass rush department, I think all of those things combined paint the picture that would suggest Alabama wins this football game. But on the other side of that coin, what you must acknowledge about Oklahoma is that they have had to go on the road and into the proverbial hornet's nest twice in SEC play. At South Carolina, before South Carolina went in the tank, mind you, and Tennessee at Neyland Stadium. They passed both of those tests with flying colors. More so against South Carolina than against Tennessee, but they got the job done in both games. When the circumstances, the environment was, you know, quite an adverse one, and you had to bring your own juice. You had to bring your own energy. And so for Oklahoma, Eli Bowen said it when we talked to the players on Monday night. They like being the villain. They're willing to embrace that villain role. And so for a team that has proven they can go and do that on the road in the SEC, by no means should they be disregarded in this football game. And I don't think that's happening widely. I know there are a couple of folks. I know that Pate has said what he said about this football game and the outcome that he believes will transpire. But I think for the most part, everybody's approaching this game with the understanding that, yes, I think you'd give Alabama the natural edge in the prognostication department, but you can't look past Oklahoma, because if you don't show up and you don't play an A-level game or a B-level game, if you just play a C game like Tennessee did with all the mistakes that they made on both sides of the ball, they can beat you, even if they're not at their best.
Yeah. Well, I think at the end of the day, this is going to be a fun game. It's got some pretty good matchups, man. Some really good matchups, actually.
Hey, by the way, Caden Penny is in the YouTube chat saying boomer. So, hey, what's up, Caden?
What's up, Caden?
Popping awesome, in, dude. Making a cameo. No big deal. Awesome. Just a 5-star offensive lineman in Oklahoma's 2027 class.
Not bad, not bad, Caden. Not bad.
He's had an awesome junior year, too.
He has. He's fun.
You get the sense that that ranking won't be fluctuating much, if at all, because he's going to be in the conversation as the number one interior offensive line projection in the 27 cycle.
So this week in OK Preps, you have Norman North and Mustang. The winner is getting Broken Arrow. Right.
Hey, how about that matchup, though? Mason James versus Gabriel Osborne.
Totally agree with it. That is something. So I was talking to Jaron O'Neill today about that, actually, and a couple of the athletic department people at Mustang and some of the coaches. And they were like, are you going to be there? I was like, no, I got to go to Alabama. And I said, but you're dang right. We will be streaming that game as we make our way down to Bama. Watching Gabriel Osborne and Mason James, are you kidding me? What? You got Kolar?
He's not going to play.
Oh, he's not going to play?
Yeah, Kolar, he broke his collarbone last week, so he's done for the year.
Oh, no. I was looking forward to him and Tate and Duncan going at each other. Like, there were some really good matchups in that game. Not that there aren't still, but some really good matchups nonetheless. But yeah, you got Broken Arrow potentially in Mustang, which would... Hit Gabriel Osborne versus Tamar Stanford. How awesome would that be? Not to mention Jaden Johnson. Trying to think who else is on that team that's just super good. Help me out here, Parker. There's so many good wide receivers on Mustang's team.
I mean, you were the Mustang whisperer here.
I know. I'm thinking the kid from Norman. Ryder Mix.
Ryder Murphy. So
Ryder Murphy. I say Ryder Mix all the time. Ryder Murphy. Yep. Yeah, that's some fun stuff. What do you think? I just want to see Mustang and Bigsby play again, by the way. That's all I really want to see. I just do. That was a fun game. But anyways, what do you want? What do you think will happen, or what do you foresee happening? Probably the biggest matchup possible in this game is OU's offensive line versus Alabama's D-line. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were to predict it right now, like, do you foresee trouble?
For whom?
For
Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're going to have their hands full. I mean, this is where your pair of true freshman tackles, they're going to be tested, man. And they played well against Tennessee. They held their own against Tennessee. But, you know, it's one thing to do it once. It's another thing to do it on a weekly basis. And we haven't seen enough from Fasusi and Foje, who have only started opposite one another twice now against Ole Miss and then the following week against Tennessee. We've only seen two games from those dudes as the starting tackles. So I don't know that you can really draw a conclusion, make a judgment on how this weekend is going to go. Ole Miss, things were a little rocky. Tennessee, things were a lot better. Things happen once, okay. You can pretty well write it off. Things happen twice, call that a coincidence. Three times is a pattern. So I don't know that we're going to be able to clearly identify a pattern in the play of Fasusi and Foje collectively. I know Fasusi has started a lot more games than Foje this season at his respective position. But... man, that maybe is the biggest variable for Oklahoma the rest of the way, is can you continue to get strong tackle play from two guys that have been thrown into the equation a lot earlier than most would have expected? Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, mentally, they're cut out for it. Physically, they're cut out for it. It comes down to execution on Saturdays. Yeah. Snap in, snap out, the consistency, the competitiveness. And if you see those two guys play the way that they did against Tennessee this weekend against Alabama, Oklahoma's going to have a dang good shot to pull the upset.
I totally agree. EPL is the one I'm watching more than anything else. Like, I want to see his continued growth, because it feels like he is taking massive step after massive step each and every week. He's always going to be physical. I don't think that's, and I think him being on the offensive line as much as it can potentially hinder you with pass blocking with him, just be, and it has nothing to do with athleticism. There's probably not a more athletic offensive lineman than Eddie Pierre-Louis. However, he will readily admit to you, like, and has to us, that he struggles sometimes and gets in his own way when it comes to the plays and the playbook and all that type of stuff and, you know, technique, all that. You will never hear anybody say he isn't going to win the battle in run blocking. He's going to bury your ass is what he's going to do. Pass blocking's always been kind of a thing because he didn't really do a lot of that in high school. He's learning as he goes. There are a lot of people that viewed him as a defensive lineman out of high school because of his athleticism. So, like, there's a lot to learn. I'm excited to see what the growth is. Bye week, he showed out against Tennessee. What's that next step for Eddie Pierre-Louis? I think it can be big. I think he has all conference potential before his career at Oklahoma is over.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you see that, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not there on tape every single rep, and that's going to be the biggest thing for a young offensive lineman like EPL is just nailing down the consistency. But his best reps are amazing reps.
Mm-hmm.
The type of reps that make you go, yep, that's what an NFL dude looks like.
Yeah, he's that. Here's the thing. I think we have a super chat, by the way. I think we do have a super chat. I think we missed it. Showtime 409. Showtime 409. Appreciate the super chat. Again, if you want us to read it, the best way is a super chat. We'll read some of these, but the chat's moving so fast. It's just so hard for us to keep up with the conversation. The pudding conversation still going on and mixed with some dude named Pork Rind is talking crap. And obviously he's a Bama troll, which is fine. Have at it. Troll away, Bama fan. Pork Rind suck, by the way. I hope I don't offend anybody with
highly
that.
Highly overrated, Zach. You're right.
It's awful. But anyway, Showtime 409, thank you so much for the super chat. Who do you guys think has a standout game? I think, I'll do offense and defense. You do one on offense and defense as well. Okay. But tears off the board because I think that's a given that he has to play well for OU to win. Like, that's easy.
Sure.
I'm going to say on defense, Owen Heineke has another big day. He has to, because they're going to be in the passing game a lot. They're going to try to stretch Oklahoma across the middle, the second, third levels. He's got to play his zones correctly. He's got to be in the right spot at the right time. I think he and Kip Lewis have to play their best games they've played all year. Have to, defensively. Offensively, I think Xavier Robinson.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly where I was going to.
Yeah. He's going to have a good game. I feel it. He's got to run the ball. I talked to somebody last night that said everybody wants to say that, you know, I'll just say this. They told me that with this offense, as bad as it was last year, there's still a lot of confidence and a lot of things that they're still trying to fix with some of the players right now because it was that bad. Like, they were that downtrodden last year. And so every week is just another step in the right direction to where, yes, Oklahoma could put up 100 more yards a game if they really, really wanted to. They could put up probably another touchdown a game, average another touchdown a game as far as points per games go. This person said, but the offense is doing what it needs to do this year. It's the SEC. You're trying to win ball games. You're not trying to win the stat column. Mm. So that means if they're going to run the ball and run the clock out and do 4-minute offense more than they probably would next year, when that offense is probably going to be superior to most offenses in college football next year with everything they have coming back. But they're not there yet. They're still a year away from that. So you have to take these steps, is what they said. So you're going to lean on a Xavier Robinson, and you have to. And the QB run game is something that Bama struggles with. I think once Matera gets loose a couple of times, they start really trying to focus in and spying on Matera, which opens up a lot of things with Xavier Robinson. A lot of things with Xavier Robinson. So who is your defensive guy?
Yeah, defensively, man, I agree wholeheartedly with what Hop Bazinga said in the super chat. Taylor Wine has a standout.
It's a good one.
Like with R. Mason Thomas out of the picture, think Oklahoma's best guy at that spot in an overall sense is Taylor Wine. Assuming R. Mason Thomas doesn't play, Taylor Wine is Oklahoma's most complete, most dangerous defensive end. Now, really excited to see how many snaps we see from Danny Okoye and whether he can get home a time or two and make his presence felt, because he did just that against Tennessee after R. Mason Thomas went down with the injury, recorded a sack of Joey Aguilar, and in limited action this season as a redshirt freshman, he's proven that he can get after it, right? He's proven that he can be a capable pass rusher in the Southeastern Conference. So when I look at what Alabama does well versus what they don't do well, they are in the bottom half of the SEC when it comes to run defense. They allow almost 140 yards per game on the ground. Mm-hmm. When you consider that, combined with the fact that Xavier Robinson is hitting his stride here in 2025, and he played the game of his life against this very opponent a year ago in 2024, he's easily the key guy for me on the offensive side of the ball for Oklahoma. He has to get it going, and I trust that he will. What Alabama does do well, though, they're a really strong defense against the pass. They only allow 165 yards per game through the air. That's second in the SEC behind only Missouri. And so what's John Mateer going to have to look for? Well, he's going to have to take the easy stuff. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to identify the easy stuff and take it. Make what headway you can against a defense like this. Are the shots going to be there? They might, but can you really count on it? No. If you have open looks, if you have clear looks, you get a guy that creates separation on, or is able to create separation on a consistent basis against his man, man, you got to be able to feed that guy the ball. And to me, the guy that's done the best job of that this season, not named Isaiah Cetania, who has obviously been Oklahoma's premier receiving threat in really every sense, but the guy that's done the best job of just continually getting open outside of Isaiah Cetania is Jaron Kanick. And it's been a quiet few weeks for Jaron Kanick. He started off really hot. He's kind of plateaued statistically the last few weeks. This, to me, sets up as the type of game where Jaron Kanick could have one of those, you know, 5-catch, 90-yard stat lines that we were seeing from him with regularity early in the year. And if that's what we do get, if that's what we can get from Jaron Kanick, if that's what Oklahoma gets from their senior tight end on Saturday, then I think that goes a long way towards giving Oklahoma a chance to go secure the win in this football game. Because if that's the type of production that he accumulates alongside what you're going to get week in, week out from a guy like Cetania, what Oklahoma ought to be able to do in the run game with Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blaylock, at that point, what that probably all adds up to is you're sustaining drives, you're putting points on the board. And it is worth noting here that Oklahoma scored on every single red zone possession this season. So they get down into the red zone, they're getting points out of it.
I agree with everything you said about Kanick. I think he needs to have a big game. By the way, speaking of Jaron Kanick, tomorrow afternoon we're dropping a OU Insider special. I got to interview Danny Stutzman. We hooked up. I went to the Chicago New Orleans games with my family. I'll admit it. The Williams family brought my family up to go watch, and because Danny was playing, Danny and I got to talking and stuff, and he decided to come on and do an interview with us that we're going to drop tomorrow afternoon. So it'll be, I guess, the 13th of November, Thursday. And it'll be on audio podcast. It'll be on Apple, Spotify. It'll be on YouTube. So make sure you're listening to that or watching it. He had a funny story about Jaron Kanick that you're going to want. Like, it is hilarious, by the way. And it may or may not involve Berger. So, but yeah, just kind of teasing that. It was pretty funny. And only a way Danny Stutzman can do. By the way, this pork rind dude, he keeps all his smack talk, Parker, is like fourth grade level. OU's offense sucks. Their wide receivers suck. Their O-line sucks. They just suck. That is the worst smack talk ever. Pork rind. Your smack talk sucks like your screen name, brother. So get better at it, homie. Get better at it. Do we have another Tate Sandell game?
Not like we had in Neyland Stadium.
I mean, yet. Come on now. Come on.
I said it immediately following the game. I'll stand by it until somebody knocks him off the pedestal. It's the greatest game I've ever seen at the collegiate level from a kicker. Situationally, circumstantially, to do what he did in Neyland Stadium with 102,000 screaming Vol fanatics on top of him, incredible work. And the type of performance that you probably only see once a decade or so. But it's really, really nice to know, right, that you just get past the opponent's 40-yard line. You're probably coming away with points, right? Whereas in the past, if you didn't get it into the red zone, any field goal longer than 35 yards or so, and even occasionally field goals that weren't that far out, they were an adventure for Oklahoma, and people were hanging on the edge of their seats over them. But you get it inside the 40-yard line, you're probably getting at least 3 points out of the deal because Tate Sandell is going to knock it home through the uprights.
Hey, Habazinga, real quickly with the super chat, says, hot take, Guillory gets his first pick as a Sooner. I don't think that's a hot take. I think he's due.
He is due, man. I think he's due.
But Ty Simpson only has one pick this year, I believe, right?
He's only thrown one interception.
That dude doesn't turn the ball over.
No, he does not. So Oklahoma, to that point, is going to have to be really opportunistic. If the opportunities are there to get Ty Simpson to snag an intercept, like you get two hands on the ball, you got to reel it in, man, because you just don't know how many of those chances you're going to get. Rewind to the Auburn game, Peyton Bowen dropped a pick, Kendall Daniels dropped a pick. You can't drop picks if you get your chances against Ty Simpson because the chances probably aren't going to come along all that often over the course of the game. But it does feel like Courtland Guillory's due, man. He's played well for Oklahoma. Yeah, okay, it's been up and down. He's certainly had some freshman moments, had some learning moments. But, man, I think what Brent Venables said the other night at Sooner Sports Talk speaks to exactly what we all see with Courtland Guillory, which is that he stays here, man. He does not get down on himself if he gets beat or he commits a pass interference penalty, whatever the case may be. No, it's a next play mentality for a guy like that. And that's why I have said and will continue to say, I think by the time the book is closed on Courtland Guillory's career at Oklahoma, you may look back on him as one of the best cornerbacks that Oklahoma's rostered in the 21st century.
That is a strong, that's strong, man. That's strong. I think he has that potential for sure, but that's strong. I think we got another one. Cole Birdwell Park. Appreciate the super chat, man. Parker, can you confirm Travis won't text me at 5 a.m.?
Yes, can confirm that will no longer happen. Assuming all the technical difficulties are sorted out. There's a backstory there.
I thought you had to tell me some other time.
So Cole is a regular texter at KREF. Okay. Travis was doing the rush last week at some point. He and Cole exchanged texts at 3:15 p.m., something like that, sometime in the middle of the show. And for some reason, the text that Travis sent didn't deliver to Cole until 5 a.m. the next morning. So
that's awesome.
He woke up to a text, a very early morning text from the KREF text line, courtesy of Travis Davidson.
That's funny. I'm actually shocked there's not more Super Chat as far as, recruiting questions. As hot as Oklahoma's been, people that you all want to know about, because we don't know who you want us to talk about.
Well, and at this point, man, it's not too early to say this. I know things have the potential to change depending on what happens with the coaching carousel, especially. And I'm not talking about Oklahoma in that regard as much. I'm talking about the rest of the country. But Oklahoma is in very strong shape to contend for the number one class in the nation in 2027. Mm-hmm. They have the number one class right now, and it's becoming increasingly clear that they're not going anywhere.
It is absurd, because I'll just say this. Like, I have a prediction in for Gabriel Osborne. If Oklahoma lands him, he's going to be a top 100 player before it's all said and done. As a matter of fact, I think 24/7 already has him as a top 100 player, which I hope On3 catches up with that. I think ESPN, I know ESPN will, but they land, let's say by February, they have Taven Epps, they have Gabriel Osborne, they have Case Alexander. I'm trying to think who else is close. Juju Johnson. Say Juju Johnson. Let's say
Mikhail Davis.
Mikhail Davis.
Yep. That's an insane, insane class already. And you're still a long way away from putting the finishing touches on it. And yeah, you don't have your quarterback yet.
They don't even have an offer out.
Think about that. Like, oftentimes the quarterback is the catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma doesn't have their quarterback yet.
Do they take a quarterback in 27 is the question.
Yeah, I think they will.
No, I think they will too. I think there is talk that they could go without, because, but a lot of that depends on how attrition plays out after this season. That's going to dictate so much as far as Oklahoma pursued or not pursuing a 27 quarterback. And I honestly think that's what they're waiting on, to see how January unfolds, Parker. Like, I think that the portal opens up, I think it's like, what, January 10th, right?
It's January 2nd.
January 2nd, that's right. And it only lasts till the 12th, which is stupid.
I think it's great. Get it out of the way in a 10-day span.
I think you should have 15 days. I think 15 is probably the perfect kind of... Because what if you didn't intend to transfer, but they bring somebody in, you know that person's making so much that they're going to play them, right? Or at least try to play them. Like Jade Knott, like they tried to force Jade Knott in there over and over and over and over and over.
Well, they did, but not at the expense of a guy like Torrey Blaylock, right? From the jump, it was clear there was a hierarchy in that backfield, and Torrey Blaylock was higher than Jade Knott.
That's fair.
Cole Birdwell tosses $5 more and asks, next three commits. Ooh, this is a fun game. Do you want to go first or should I?
Real quickly before you do that, I just got a text message. I was texting with this person about how Oklahoma is after so many people in the Hoosier State.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be the most ever that Oklahoma, and they're probably going to land everyone that they're after, by the way, in that state. This person said, and I quote, it's all about connections. And you have to remember that a few of the guys are deeply rooted in the Midwest. Their leader, Jim Nagy, deeply, deeply rooted from the Midwest.
That's true.
I never even thought, I did not.
A Michigan man.
A Michigan man that knows his Hoosier State, obviously. Mm-hmm. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
Next three commits. Do you want to go first or should I?
Ooh, I like that one. Nice one, Cole Birdwell. Okay, I'll go. Mikhail Davis. Does it matter the class?
It does not.
Okay. Does Masai Mickens, Mikhail Davis, and Jonas Mua.
Okay. I mean, there will be at least three more commits. I shouldn't say there will be. There very well ought to be at least three more commits no later than 3 weeks from now, because 3 weeks now is early signing day. So with that in mind, I'll actually say the next three commits, only one of them.
3 weeks, National Signing Day?
Yeah, 3 weeks till National Signing Day. December 3rd.
Whoa, it's early this year. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Only one of the next three commits will be a 26 kid. Messiah Mickens, I agree. I think that one's coming soon here. But then the other two, I will say, Michael Davis, I agree with you on that one. And then Juju Johnson, Long Beach Poly.
That would be massive.
Another Cali kid, man. Another one.
Stacy Ford strikes again. Stacy Ford, West Coast connections, Jim Nagy with his Midwest connections. they are striking it rich, dude, in those areas right now. I mean, just it is. Look, we're going to be down to see, or we're trying to make it in time. So we have plans to see a kid by the name of Jalen Scott this weekend. Or I have plans. Hopefully Parker, you'll come with. But he's a 2027 top 100 player in the country, safety out of Mobile, Alabama. Oklahoma is in a very, 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 very good spot. He's committed to Auburn right now. Very good spot. The thing is he's been really wishy-washy. What I've been told is that Jim Nagy is super, super, super close with the head coach there at Williamson, which is where Jalen Scott plays out of Mobile, Williamson High School, Antonio Coleman. And with that staff, obviously, here's the thing is, Nagy has been around so many places that he has so many connections, man. I think it's really hard. Midwest. He's got the Pacific Northwest because his time in Seattle. He's from the Midwest in Michigan. He spent so much time down there in the Alabama area that he knows all the high school coaches down in the Alabama, the Florida Peninsula, Mississippi. Like, that's his stomping grounds. And then he's got that Northeast because of his time with obviously several, obviously the Patriots and a couple other places. But people don't realize that the NFL guys do a lot of work within the high schools around there, that they build up all these connections. And that it's paying off dividends for Oklahoma, Parker. Like, when we said Jim Nagy was going to be one of the best hires Oklahoma ever made, it's starting to ring true. It is starting to ring true.
Also, you know what's hilarious is, obviously, Jim Nagy knew Lake Dawson previously. Mm-hmm. He knew Charlie Parkinson previously. He knew Taylor Redd previously. The one guy that really nobody in the building knew was Stacy Ford.
Yeah.
Like, there was no, you know, that was just a hire that, you know, they interviewed him, loved him, decided he was the guy. And boy, did they.
Yeah. That they hit a home run. They hit a home run. He got a lot. He talked about it. He got a lot of recommendations about Stacy Ford. And it is pan out. And, you know, the thing you like about Coach Ford is that he likes being behind the scenes. And the dude is on the road all the time. Like, the way he's used it's fantastic. It's fantastic. OU has figured it out. And it's working out big time for him in 27 and 26. I expect Oklahoma. I think they have some surprise visitors for LSU in 2026 that are committed elsewhere. For the LSU game. I'm not saying it's already happened and that they've already been set up. Parker, you know who I'm talking about. There's a couple of people out there, players out there, that Oklahoma is working vigorously behind the scenes, and they're big name players. They're not just small potatoes to get them back on campus. If they go out and beat Alabama and they beat Missouri, it would not shock anybody that covers recruiting if Oklahoma had a few big surprise names pop up Thanksgiving weekend when OU hosts LSU, because it's looking like it's likely going to be a night game at this point. So that would be huge, 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 huge for Oklahoma to be able to close that out. I guess one final thing for me as far as OU Alabama goes, and again, if you are a veteran, just this next 24 hours, if you're a veteran, you're listening, you're watching, email us OUinsider@rivals.com. Send a photo. You can mark out all of your personal information. Just send proof that you are a vet, and we'll send you back a promo code with a link and all that to get OU Insider for $1 a month for 3 months, 24 hours. 11:59, November 13th, options up. But send us. We would love to have you on there with us. Enjoying the party. I think you'll like what you see there. But anyways, one last thing. Does Oklahoma, or does John Mateer, pass for 250 plus? Because I think he has to for them to win.
I don't think he has to.
You don't. I do.
And I do not think he will.
I think he's got to get to at least somewhere around 250. I think he needs a throw for at least a touchdown or two. He cannot turn the ball over. The thing I think that would be unbelievably ironic, Parker, is on the flip side, Ty Simpson hasn't thrown but one interception all year. Oklahoma struggled to turn people over all year. Outside of the Tennessee game, obviously. And they somehow figured it out against Tennessee, and it rolls over, and Ty Simpson plays catch with Oklahoma. That would be the most ironic thing ever, because it's not how anybody would expect the game to play out. Like, there is nobody that has any sort of football mind, Parker, that's going to sit there and think, yeah, I think Ty Simpson's going to end up throwing a couple of picks this game. He hasn't done it. There's no proof that he's going to do it. Could he throw one? Sure.
Yeah.
Multiple? Oklahoma's, come on now.
Oklahoma's defense did get three takeaways against Tennessee, but that was kind of an outlier, right?
Yeah, like, that's my point. Yeah.
Yeah, not a defense that has consistently forced turnovers here in 2025.
Yeah, not at all, man. But I'm excited. The pregame podcast we're going to record tomorrow. We'll have it up for you guys Friday afternoon. We have a Danny Stutzman interview that is just fantastic. Like, in ways only Danny Stutzman can do. He answers questions, and he's hilarious the whole time. So you guys are going to love that. It's dropping Thursday, November 13th. Make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube, to our podcast channels, whether it's Spotify, Apple, whatever, because that's going to get you notified. Whenever it drops, you'll be able to notify, you'll be able to listen to it. Plus, you'll get, you know, all the other content that we drop every week, which has been a lot the last few weeks. And we're trying to make sure we have daily content for you guys on the audio and video side, because you guys deserve it. As much as we push the VIP stuff, we also like to give you guys free content on here, because obviously not everybody can do the VIP stuff, but we also like, everybody's a fan though. And we want you guys to have as much content as possible. But like we said, just today, just the next 24 hours, Wednesday night into Thursday night, November 13th, because it's Veterans Week, email us. If you're a veteran, email us proof, with proof that you're a veteran, and we'll send you a promo code to make sure you get OU Insider for $1 a month for 3 months. Again, email OUinsider@rivals.com. If you're active duty, same thing, email us from your active duty military account. OUinsider@rivals.com. We'll send you a promo code. Make sure you get OU Insider for $1 a month for 3 months. If you are a college student with a .edu, you can go to Oklahoma State. You can go to Timbuktu University. You can go to Alabama University. We don't care. Email us, OUinsider@rivals.com from your .edu, from your .edu, because that allows us to have proof that you're a college student. Again, we'll send you a promo code. Make sure you get OU Insider for $1 a month for 3 months. And then obviously teachers, we always think our teachers, we think the teachers that deal with the kids every day, K through 12, pre-K through 12, actually. If you have a teacher's email account, email us, OUinsider@rivals.com. Again, we'll send you a promo code, $1 a month for 3 months. But go to OU Insider. If you're not any of those, you can go to OUinsider.com right now. You can click that green button. You will get an option to get OU Insider for $1 the first week. And you'll get the athletic complimentary of OU Insider and On3 for a whole year if you join right now. So that's a 2-for-1 deal. Access to a whole bunch of content. You get the Alabama site if you join us. You get Texas. You can go check on whatever college, whatever message board you want to look at. If On3's got that message board and you're a member of OU Insider, you can go check it out on us. That's the cool thing about being a member of On3. You get everything. So it's a really, really cool deal. Again, $1 a week for the first, $1 for the first week. Really, really go to OUinsider.com. Really simple deal. All right. For Parker Thune, for Spencer Forsythe on the board, my name is Brandon Drum. That's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners YouTube Live. You guys have a blessed day. We'll see you guys on the pregame podcast.